Hi, Steve.
Oh, hey, Jason, what were you doing in the basement?
Oh, nothing. Here, hold this.
What is this? Oh, okay, it's kind of... What is it, like a pepper, or like a bean pod or something?
It's nothing. Sleep with
it. Like a giant pea pod or something.
Go to sleep with it. Here, I'll push you into bed. Sleep with it. There you go. You'll be better. You'll be better in the morning.
Is it supposed to be seeping like this?
You'll be better, and when you're better, we'll reveal Invasion of the Body Snatchers, not related. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Late Seating. I'm Jason Harding.
And I'm Steve Shives.
And on this show, we review a classic movie and see if it lives up to its reputation as to whether it's good or bad, and not if it's a metaphor for communism. This time around, we're going to review the totally not real Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Right, Steve?
Yes. You seem different than usual.
Shut up.
It's not Jason! You're not really Jason!
I wish they did the scream like in the remake.
Like in the Donald Sutherland version, yeah.
The totally terrified scream. Terrifying scream.
Yeah.
What's her name? Loses her shit. That's how you end the movie.
That's an ending, baby.
That's how you do it. That's how you end a movie. That's a 1970s movie, bleak as shit.
Oh boy, is it there's no hope, give up.
Everybody's dead. Jeff Goldblum is dead. Your girlfriend is dead. Everybody's dead. Your hero that you've been following this whole time is fucking dead. Fuck you.
Instead of that's how you know it's a 70s movie. Instead of the end coming up, it just says fuck you.
Fuck you. Almost all of the movies of the 1970s could say fuck you. No, it's small wonder that movies like Superman and Star Wars
Massive hits.
Yeah, were massive hits because you're like, oh, finally, some
there
light.
Wasn't a fuck you at the end. There wasn't a fuck you at the end. You just watch, you look at those movies now, and I mean, and they're great movies, but you watch them and you think, man, Vietnam and Watergate fucked this country up.
It really fucked everybody up.
It fucked this country up for like 10 years. We didn't want to see anything happy in the movies.
All right, what we're doing is we're going to review Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yay!
Now, there have been four versions of this fucking story.
It's a very popular story.
And this is the one from 1956.
That's right, the original.
Hooray. Hey, Steve, do you have any trivia for this classic 1950s horror movie?
I do. I do have trivia for this, yes.
Yay. Go for it.
So, principal photography took 19 days.
Yep.
With everyone working 6 days a week. The only day off they had was Sunday. And the shoot was exhausting.
I bet.
Especially for the star, Kevin McCarthy, because he's the one who had to do all that running. And he was
he had to carry a woman around.
Yeah, I mean, he was physically exhausted by the time they got to the end. And the last bit that they shot of, they went back and did some pickups later, but the last bit that they shot of the 19 days was that last sequence of him on the highway with the cars going by.
Sure.
And the director, Don Siegel, actually, he told the stunt drivers to be extra careful because he was afraid Kevin McCarthy was so exhausted
that
he might forget where he was supposed to step and might accidentally walk in front of one of the cars and get hit by a car. Sure. So he was like, be extra careful. He might not know where he is. just stagger in front of a car.
It could be a problem.
And then the studio would really hate that ending.
That would be a fuck you.
That would be a 50s fuck you.
What if at the end of this movie the two doctors are like, oh, what happened? Oh, dude, we had to bury him out of all these seed pods. And they went, oh, okay. And they just walked off. Fuck you! That's it,
you thought there was hope, but there wasn't!
That somehow a doctor can call the FBI and scramble all of the army.
Yeah. Good thing Hello. I happen to be the president's doctor.
Hello, operator. We didn't mention that. I want you to call an airstrike on Santa Maria. What's the name of it?
I can't remember the name of the town.
I'm going to say Santa Monica. Fuck it. Santa Monica.
Oh, no, not Jack Tripper. Yes. Has he been replaced by a pod?
Yeah, Larry.
It's just like
Lone Larry was.
Oh, hey, no, not Larry.
Hey, Jack. Let's go down to the whatever the smoky oyster, the Regal Beagle. I was going to
the bearded clam. They couldn't get that one by the censors.
Which one were you better, the Ropers or Mr. Furley?
I like the Ropers better.
Yeah.
No, nothing against Mr. Furley. I thought
Mr. Furley was just a creep. It was just a Mr. weird Furley creep.
Mr. Furley was great, but the Ropers were, I mean, that was the best period of the show was the Ropers. They were fucking hilarious.
For all of our little children who have no fucking idea what we're talking about, we're talking about a sitcom called Three's Company. The majority
that was popular
of
in the 70s.
Was on TV while Steve wasn't even fucking born.
And somehow I've still seen every episode.
That's right. It's the only reason we get along is that Steve is addicted to 70s culture.
I caught up on a bunch of TV from before I was born.
You did. You're like, I watched all of Mark and Mindy. I was only two when it was out, but I watched every fucking episode.
Yeah, like my favorite show ever is All in the Family. Really? How old were you when that was on?
None.
Like -8?
I hadn't even been created in my father's ball sack. I don't know how you count me at that point. My
parents hadn't even gone through puberty yet.
The appropriate chemicals to coalesce to make the sperm that is me. hadn't even entered my father's body yet.
The proteins that made the sperm and the egg didn't even exist yet.
But of all of, I mean, here's the thing. I'll say this right now. The reason we're best friends, despite our age difference, which is fucking significant. It's really.
It's shocking.
We're 10 years apart. I'm going to be
like 10 years. Yeah.
I'll be 55 this year. And Steve, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Steve thinks it's
I'll be 44
me before I do. So he's going to go completely gray. His back's going to go out. He's not prepared. He really is not prepared for the conclusion of his 40s. He's not ready for it yet.
Have you seen my glasses? Have I showed you my glasses?
Yeah, I saw you. I didn't know if they were real or not.
No, they're real. They're right here.
Put on your fucking glasses, old man.
I don't wear them all the time, but yeah.
Look at that.
See, check me out.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Getting old.
Now all the patrons get to see it. All the people.
You know,
just
it's really.
Podcast,
you know, it's really sickening. I watched a video of yours from 10 years ago. There's not a fucking gray in your beard.
I know. It just happens all of a sudden, doesn't it? I actually noticed.
And you're fat. That's the thing. Is like you have a lot more weight on your body. So it's like, is that my best friend Steve when he was like a baby? Is he
about?
A baby? Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, I noticed my first gray chest hair, and I thought, oh, it won't be long now.
Oh, it won't be long until they all turn gray. And then
the downhill slide has begun in earnest.
And then if you're lucky, they fall out. They're just gone.
And then I'm just like a baby again.
Yeah, that's what's happening to me. I have no leg hair left. I'm like, where the fuck did all the hairs on my shins go? Like, they're just gone.
There goes all my testosterone.
They got ripped off.
It's gone.
Where are we? How do we get here?
I'm still doing trivia. There was no second unit.
Nope.
And all the special effects were accomplished in camera. There are
what
no
special
composite
effects?
Shots. Well, you see the shots of like the people, like the
pods
opening out of the pod and stuff. Yeah. It's all practical effects, all done in camera.
Okay.
An early cut of the film included a lot more humor. However, the funny scenes were cut due to the demands of the studio, which had a policy against mixing comedy and horror.
Oh,
And
brother.
the
Did one of
actual
the seed
filmmaker.
pods open up and there was a clown inside?
I guess. Wouldn't that be great if that was the humor? If like every
It
third pod opened up and it wasn't a duplicate of somebody, it was just
was
a
just a, it
clown.
was a clown or something they thought was funny. Oh, there's a hot dog in this one.
Oh. And
Maybe the comedy, maybe the comedy was cut out because it was just awful.
the clowns got pitchforked right away. Like there was no like hesitation. Like, what should we do? Should we wait a little longer? As soon as Kevin McCarthy saw the first clown, he was like, "No!"
You know what I want removed from
What?
the remake in the 1970s? The
Oh,
fucking
what?
dog with a hobo face.
The dog with the hobo
You
face.
remember that dog with the hobo face? They're like, we can't show any emotion. We'll blend right in. And they're trying to walk down. It's like the movie is throwing every upsetting thing that they could possibly
Yeah.
throw at them. And they're like, fuck it. Let's throw a dog with a hobo face. Why not? And you're like,
Don't
Jesus
react.
Christ.
Don't react.
Don't react to the. Because you want to scream when you see that, don't you? I know I do.
Well, you're not trying to hide from the pod people. You can scream all you want.
Anyway, more trivia.
Yes. So in the movie, one of the early explanations for what is going on, because, people thinking that other people have been replaced by duplicates, they say it's a kind of mass hysteria, right? And there is an actual psychological condition that
Called
people
mass
suffer from
hysteria.
where. Well, it's not a mass hysteria. It's actually very rare, where people who have it believe that people they know have been replaced by identical duplicates. And it's called the Capgras delusion, named for Dr. Joseph Capgras, who was the psychiatrist who first described it in the early 1920s. It
Yes.
is extremely rare, but it has been observed in men and women and people of a variety of ages. It usually occurs alongside other psychotic disorders or as the result of a brain injury, but it is a real thing. Pod people is not a real thing, but the delusion that people have become duplicates is a real thing. I thought that was interesting.
Well, no. I mean, one of the things about this is that if this was truly the 1950s and Kevin McCarthy stumbled in and said everyone's being they're not really them, that they've been re they would have been re help lay it right down, and we're going to perform a little lobotomy on you, like immediately.
Like immediately. Okay, we'll fix that.
We're
Tick,
going to
tick,
calm
tick.
you
There we
right
go.
down, tink, 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 and you're
We're
done.
gonna calm you right down.
That's what the commercials on TV, how they sold the lobotomy. Is your wife hysterical? Just remember these three little words: tink, tink, tink.
Tink, tink, tink. Fixes it all, baby.
And she won't mind while you maritally rape her. It's the 1950s. Hooray!
The American dream, the good old days.
The good old days when a wife could go to a police station and say, "My husband raped you," and the police would say, "That's impossible. That's not possible.
That's
You're
impossible.
property, stupid. What did you think? You don't, when you got married, you don't have a right to say no ever. You barely had a right to say no when you weren't married.
Don't you know what words mean, stupid lady?
The only time rape counts is if someone has sex with you that isn't your husband. Then we'll get upset. Go away.
Then we'll lynch that person
Go away.
unless it's one of us.
If the guy's black, we might lynch him and burn the whole town to the ground. We don't know. It's the
It's
1950s.
the 19.
Yay.
Who knows how the fuck we'll react to
The
anything?
decade that the Republicans want back. The
Yes.
1950s, where everyone was white and we randomly just killed black people and no one went to jail for
And made up a reason for it later if we
it.
had to.
Oh, Jesus, where are we? Anyway,
So
Steve.
this movie has a specially shot trailer. And if you've ever seen the trailer for this movie, it's a great trailer.
It's the
It
beginning of the fucking show. Oh,
was
I'm
shot. Yeah,
sorry.
it was.
The patrons got to see the trailer.
Oh, the Patriot. Okay, yeah, you do play the trailer at the beginning.
Thanks for
If you've never
watching the
seen the
show.
trailer,
Thanks for watching the special edition of the show,
I
Steve.
barely even know what show this is that we're doing. This
You're
is
the
one of
pod.
yours, right? This is
You're
for
the
you.
pod
Anyway,
person. You don't watch the show. You barely acknowledge it. You're fucking wearing glasses now.
If the glasses upset you, I can't take them off.
I only have peepers. So I can read. I have peepers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll put on my peepers, and then no one will know show we're doing.
Wait a minute. What are these two college professors talking about?
They're my peepers. And I go, now I can see my keyboard. That's how fucking blind
hey.
I am.
Hey.
Anyway, yes?
I'm a touch typist. But the trailer is really cool because they shot the trailer at the same time as they shot the wraparound bits at the beginning and the end where he's talking to the other doctor and sort of telling the story. And it's exactly the same as the first scene, except Kevin McCarthy.
These are my other peepers. I have two pairs
of nice. Peepers. You have two pairs of peepers.
In case one breaks.
You have extra peepers.
These are my peeper sunglasses.
Those are cool peepers right there.
These are my cool peepers. I'm going to wear them for the rest of the show. Finally,
you should.
I'm going to be super. No, fuck it. Cool. I got a better. Super cool. Here's my super cool. There. Now I'm the Terminator.
Oh, nah, buddy. Blues Brothers and shit.
No one knows on the fucking podcast what we're fucking doing right now.
Why are we doing visual jokes on a podcast?
Like they've lost and they don't care anymore.
The patrons watching the uncut version are like, it's not that funny. He's just putting on sunglasses. But like the listeners are like, what the fuck? Why didn't they cut this out?
I'm succumbing to mania because I can see the end of the world coming. And so I'm just like, fuck it. Whatever jumps into my mind, I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Just seize the opportunity.
That's right. You know?
Yeah. But anyway, in the trailer, Kevin McCarthy turns directly to the camera and he urges the viewer to believe him and to do something. And he's like, if you don't believe me, then they'll come for you next. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then most people who saw that probably just said, whatever. And they didn't see the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's a kid stuff.
That sci-fi stuff. For the kids. And someone it's not even in 3D.
And here's your pod. And I'm like, what?
I didn't see the movie, so I don't feel threatened.
No. Anyway, is that all your trivia?
I got one last one, and it ties into what we were talking about. It ties into what we were talking about like movies having bleak endings because
do they like each other anymore? He's just being really aggressive this time around.
Why can't you ever just shut your fucking mouth? Just sit there and be quiet.
Are they really becoming the new Siskel and Ebert where they just fucking hate each other?
When a response from you is required, it will be asked for. You sit there and shut your fucking mouth.
That's what made Ebert's jaw drop off. Someone said, I dare you to say one nice thing about Gene Siskel. And his
and
jaw
he was like, I can't. I physically can't. Oh, I love your Ebert jaw cancer jokes.
I've got so much karma coming towards me. It's just not funny.
When I made the Apollo 1 joke. It's like it's even funnier because you know that you're joking about something that you genuinely like.
You shouldn't be doing this, but fuck it.
It's like I love Roger Ebert so much, and I'm still gonna laugh at that joke. God damn it, I'm gonna laugh at that fucking joke.
It's so mean.
It's so mean.
After that happened,
it's so mean, and he's been dead for like 8 years, and we're still like, oh, his fucking jaw. What a tragedy to befall the great man in his final years.
Anyway,
so the original ending of the movie was going to be Miles on the highway.
Yeah.
Just like shouting, you know, like they're coming for you next. Like that was going to be, that was going to be the end. And the producers or the studio, the studio executive said, it's not the 70s yet, motherfucker. You can't end a movie like that.
You can't leave that far forward and have a bleak, dark ending. Fuck you.
Yeah. So they added the bits that became the frame story at the beginning and the end of him telling the story to the other doctors.
And then, like you said,
the ending where the it turns out the doctor is like, I'm gonna call the president. He's like, oh shit, okay, I guess you can just do that because as a random psychiatrist.
A guy said that there was these weird pods.
And they, but I think he's telling the truth.
Where did that truck come from? Oh, Santa Margaritaville, wherever it's from.
Yeah, the Podville.
And he turns right around, picks up a fucking phone, and calls,
Yeah,
"Yes, Mr.
like that.
President, I know you
That's
don't
all
know
he
who I
needs to
am."
hear. That's all he needs. I'm some random doctor from nowhere, but I think you need to do something about this.
It's time to nuke the town. Just do it.
And they actually shot those scenes so late that the other actors in there, other than Kevin McCarthy, aren't
No.
credited in the movie
No, they're
because
not.
they had already finished the credits
Yes, they
by the
had.
time they added that bit. That was like the last part that they shot. The rest of the movie, including the credits and everything, was completely done. So they
Yep.
didn't credit the other actors in that scene. So there you go. That's my trivia.
Hooray! Now it's time for Who Made It? My favorite part of this goddamn review show. Anyway, it was directed by Don Siegel, and he directed movies like Dirty Harry and The
That's
Shootist.
right.
So he got to make movies in the gritty 1970s, didn't he? Yeah, whatever. Screenplay by Daniel Manwaring, and he's well, he worked on the Wild Wild West TV show, and I think Mannix. And he wrote a couple other things, but he's not famous. Based on The Body Snatchers, which was a story in a magazine. It was in
Right.
Collier's.
Yeah.
And Jack Finney, whatever. This is a movie show, not about writers. Produced by Walter Wanger. That's right. His name was Wanger.
They let
And
him keep that name.
he never got made fun of for that name, did he? Well, his first name should have been Dick. My name's Dick Wanger.
Produced by Dick Wanger.
Hello, I'm named after a schoolyard insult. His name was Wanger. I can't. Anyway, he's most famous for the complete and total failure of Cleopatra, a movie that we're gonna have to do at some point, simply
Oh,
because
yeah.
it was such a fucking fiasco. Cleopatra was the most expensive movie I ever made.
Yep.
No one fucking wanted to watch the goddamn thing.
No,
It was,
because it was, yeah, it took so long to make and was so
yes.
expensive that basically there was no way it could ever have been profitable.
No. Starring Kevin McCarthy as Dr. Miles Bennell. And you know him from Twilight Zone, the movie, because he kind of disappeared for a while back to stage. He was not.
Yeah.
And he's
Yeah.
got a weird face. I'm just gonna say it.
He
His
does.
face makes weird expressions. He's got a weird
Yeah.
lower lip. And I don't
Yeah.
know. And I don't wanna look at that all the time. But he came back. And then he was in a couple other movies, but nothing.
And he was in a couple of Twilight Zone episodes as well. I think he was in Long Live Walter Jameson, which is
Was
a
he?
memorable one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dana Winter as Becky Driscoll. Stuff, but nothing major. King Donovan. Boy, his parents thought highly of him. Naming your king? That's what you name a dog. You don't name a person king any more than you name someone Duke, right? Duke Ellington? God damn
I
it.
used to know a guy named King.
What was he like?
I mean I knew him when I was very young, so I don't remember him very well, but I think he was a nice guy.
Okay, whatever. Don't do it. Hey, current generation,
Don't do
stop
it.
it.
Don't name your children after na
Don't
titles of
add,
royalty, please.
yeah, titled. My name's Archduke. Shut up and put this gun in your mouth.
History jokes. We got him.
I didn't mean that. Yeah, sure, why
Yeah,
not? Okay,
the
fuck it.
Archduke, that was what started the First
I'm
World War. I
smart.
mean, he didn't
Whatever.
put it in his own mouth, but somebody did it for him. But yeah.
Anyway, King Donovan as Jack Belichick, and he was in the Defiant Ones. Good for you. Carolyn Jones as Theodora, and you know her as Morticia from the Addams Family. I mean,
That's
that's
right.
basically it. The impossibly hot wife to the gnome creature that is Thomas
To
Adams.
John Astin. How did John Astin pull her? What the fuck happened there?
Well, he pulled somebody. Because he married fucking Patty Duke, for God's
That's true.
sake.
Well,
How old was he when he married Patty Duke?
you know what? He was really funny, and women love a good sense of humor.
I guess. I don't know. I know she was of age when they got together, thank Christ. It's Hollywood. You have to say thank
It's
Christ.
Hollywood in like the 60s. It's like, oh, okay, I'm glad that at least there's that.
Yeah. Larry Gates as Dr. Dan Kaufman. Nothing. Virginia Christie as Wilma Lentz. She was the Folgers coffee lady. You
Hey.
remember the Folgers coffee lady? She'd be like, you'd be like, this is good coffee. And she'd like, shut your fucking mouth. This is Folgers crystals. It's great. It's decaf. It's not decaffeinated. Well, I sell decaffeinated coffee too. But also, this was instant coffee. Instant coffee,
yeah,
that was
it's instant.
Good. She's a monster for selling instant coffee.
She tricked people into drinking instant coffee. And
it's
for
not
that,
real.
She will
it's
have
not
her
real.
place in the lake of fire.
It's Folgers crystals. Keep drinking it, America. Larry, I did him already. Ralph Dumpk. Dumpke? Doomk.
Yeah.
I don't
Doomky?
Know.
Doomky? Ralph Doomk. Doomk.
Another guy who got beat up in high school as Police Chief Nick Grivet. Kenneth Patterson
sure.
as Stacy Grissel. Nothing. Guy Way. Guy Way? Really?
Guy Way. Hey, I thought of the best name for my acting career.
As Officer Sam Janczyk, yes, Gene Willis.
Yeah,
Wills. I don't care.
Wills, whatever. As close enough.
Gene Willis as Nurse Sally Withers, Eileen Stevens as Anne Grimaldi, Beatrice Maud as Grandma. I'm sorry, Grandma Grimaldi. Whit Bissell as Dr. Hill. And Richard Deacon as Dr. Bassett. And you know him from the Beards. He was in the Beards. And he was in the Dick Van Dyke Show. That's what you remember more. Not as grave-faced, you know, guy who starts and ends the movie. He's like, oh, it's crazy. Cinematography by Elfworth Fredericks. Nothing. Edited by Robert S. L. Eisen. Nothing. Music by Carmen Dragon. Nothing, really. I mean...
With
he
a
was
name
born,
like that, you would
he
hope
was born
that he
here in the
more of
city
a
that
career.
I live in. He was born here, where I live. That's where he's
really?
From. Yeah, really. Probably the only significant thing to come from this fucking fart of a town. Anyway, I told you I was in a bad mood.
You
I
did.
Don't
you
know
did.
Why. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I came from a fucking paradise up in the mountains. Which, by the way, is not great. I mean, when you're at 6,500 feet, your heart beats faster, your blood pressure goes up, and the air is incredibly dry, and you can't sleep. So I didn't sleep. I got to not
what
sleep
you?
Staring at a mountain. Whatever. I don't think that. Okay, here's the thing, guys. This is something we talked about during the patron portion. So just piece it together, regular guys. Okay? I did something
yeah.
this weekend.
We've left you all the clues.
Like Red
Can Ken. Can you catch us, Mr. Police?
We mixed
We've
up
left
the
you all the clues.
Puzzle. You got to put it together. Mr. Police. What is that from? Wait a minute, don't do
it. Isn't it like wasn't it like a serial killer left a note? Like, why haven't you caught me,
Mr.
Police?
Mr. Police.
Yeah. It's like a serial killer. It's like a taunting note from a serial killer.
Well, gentlemen, it seems yeah. that we're going to have to capture a four-year-old because he just called us all Mr. Police. You're looking it up, aren't you? I heard you
I
click.
Am, yeah.
I heard you click.
I'm looking. I'm, yeah.
Well, what do you think? Anything? Apparently, there's a lot of serial killers using Mr. Police.
Joseph James D'Angelo.
Okay. So it was a real guy who called the Mr. Police.
Yeah, it was a real guy. Also known as the original Night Stalker.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Production company, Walter Wagner Productions. Dead. You know what killed it? Cleopatra killed it. That's what killed it.
That's what you get.
Yes. Distributed by Allied Artist Pictures. Dead. Although the internet says dormant. Like
What's
cancer.
The difference?
It's like can't. It's just dormant.
They're going to release another movie any day. We don't know when. We're
we
monitoring the situation closely.
Release date, February 5th. Oh, February.
Oh.
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think that was a thing yet. I don't think that was
no.
a thing yet in the 1950s.
I don't. I think they just release movies whenever they were ready.
Yeah, that's right. God knows they work fast for this one. So, February 5th, 1956. Running time 80 minutes. Good budget. Well, not. I mean, here's the thing. Could they have made this a legitimate 90 minute movie? Just an hour and a half? Isn't that possible? 80 minutes is an hour and 10 minutes. It's practically a short film. That's the fucking length of Dracula. Budget, $416,000. Isn't that cute? Look at that. Look how cute money was back in the 1950s.
That's pocket change.
Adjusted for inflation, $4.7 million. That's still cute. In this day and age? Well, $4.7 million.
That's still a low budget movie by today's standards.
Yeah. Box office, $3 million. Adjusted for inflation, $34.4 million. And that's, here's the thing, guys. I've watched this movie. I don't know how many times I've actually seen this movie. And the problem that I have with Invasion of the Body Snatchers is that it all starts to run together at some point. And I don't know why. And here's the thing, guys. I'm going to say this right now. Nobody really makes an impression on me, even Kevin McCarthy, because he goes goosey bananas by the end of this movie. The thing you remember is him staring at the camera going, "They're coming for you.
They're coming for you. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't fear-mongering. Anyway, hey, Steve, you ready to run into Santa Margarita?
Santa Margaritaville?
McFoodieville? Wait, no, it's California, so it has to have a Spanish, like San...
It's Santa Mira Santa is what it's actually called.
God, I love it when they make up shit. Santa Mira. In The Lost Boys, Santa Cruz is a little real city in California, right?
Yeah.
Santa Cruz. They had to make up a name for Santa Cruz instead of using... Why didn't they just use Santa Cruz in The Lost Boys? There's the boardwalk right there. I recognize it.
It's like how they tried... It's like how in Superman, Metropolis was obviously New York.
Is obviously New York.
But right? They made no attempt to disguise it at all. Like, the Statue of Liberty is right there. It's New York. No, it's Metropolis.
What would they do in the next movie? If, let's say, they decided, okay, let's make Batman, 1970s. We won't have to, you know, have him flying around or anything. We're just going to make Batman. Well, we can connect to the Superman. Yeah, but what are we going to use for a city? What? What are we going to use for a city? For Gotham City. We already used in New York. No, we can't use it. Just everything's New York.
And that has a Statue of Liberty too, but they call that Gotham City.
That's right.
And then they do the crossover where Christopher Reeve meets that version of Batman, and they have scenes in Metropolis that are obviously New York, and then they switch over to scenes in Gotham, which is still obviously New York.
I kind of liked it with the way they did in the animated series was that for whatever reason, Metropolis was like 1,000 years more advanced than Gotham.
Yeah.
You look at Gotham City and it's like 1930s kind of.
It's like the 30s. Yeah.
TV is in black and white on all these old tube things. People still go to movies. There's no such fucking thing as the internet.
The police use blimps.
And then you cut over to Superman and it's like Art Deco future. Where everything. Yeah. Whatever.
And the cops have laser guns.
Yep. Okay, we're done. Okay, we're going to go into the movie.
Yeah. The magical world.
Let's grab our seed pods and let's go into the magical, wonderful movie of the Invasion of Body Snatchers. It's right there. It's in the title, guys. Steve?
Yes, sir.
Take us away.
Well, we start with the crazy raving lunatic being dragged into the mental hospital.
Yeah, he's like, whoopee-doo. Hi, how are you?
You have to believe me. I have a crazy story, but you have to believe me.
This is my crazy story. Nobody is who they say they are. Also, I'm grabbing at myself.
I haven't slept for a while, okay?
Please sit still for at least 80 minutes so I can tell my story, okay?
Yes, please let me rattle this off at breakneck speed for the next hour and 20 minutes.
Let's start off with, who arrives by? This is literally what I mean. I have trouble remembering certain parts of this. He arrives on the train.
Yeah, he's been out of town. Yeah. No, he's been out of town and he comes back and he's picked up at the train station by his nurse.
Right. And they drive around. Yeah, they drive everything back to Santa Monica, and then a little kid tries to commit suicide, and they're like, wait. Yeah. This little kid runs in front of the car and he jumps out of the car and chases after the kid. And she's like, oh, he just doesn't want to go to school, so he tried to kill himself by throwing himself in front of a car.
And the doctor is like, oh, well, kids will be kids, and they drive on. Yeah.
Anyway, he's a doctor, right?
He's a doctor. That's right.
And
the nurse tells him that while he was gone, a bunch of people made appointments. Mm-hmm. But now none of them come in for their appointments. It's like nobody wants to come to the doctor.
Everybody's healthy now. Yay.
Yeah. How about that?
And then we have a whole bunch of scenes of his nurse who's wearing this. It makes it look like she's naked. She looks like she's naked a lot in some of these shots because mm-hmm. she has one of those 50s dresses that come up right to here.
Right. Yeah.
And so then chronic masturbators would come and see the movie because they're like pretending that someone's naked. Because they can't go to that one theater in the 19, you know, that one theater in the 1950s. That one theater that only chronic masturbators go to.
The one that's open all night.
That's right. But eventually they drag in the kid that tried to kill himself.
That's right. And he's upset because he says his mommy's not his mommy. It's somebody else.
And they're like, shut up. Child, shut your filthy mouth.
Take these pills and go home with your grandmother and shut up.
Take this fistful of Ritalin. Otherwise, you're going to have a date with the Mr. Lobotomy Needle. You got it?
Exactly.
But what does he say? I need some coffee. So he goes and sees Mrs. Olson. That's her name, right? It was Mrs. Olson.
Yeah, the coffee lady, of course.
The coffee lady.
Yeah, and he says, this is real. This better be fucking real coffee.
And he talks to her.
This is the middle of that instant shit.
And she's like, aside from the, shut up about the coffee, okay? What else is going on? What's happening? And she's like, no, and she's talking to what's-her-face. She's talking to the topless lady. And she's like, I can't remember. Just do it, Steve. I don't remember.
Well, at somewhere in here, he meets his old girlfriend too, doesn't he?
Cares about his love life. Yes.
Becomes somewhat important to the story at some point.
Gives a shit.
There people are starting to suspect that other people close to them are not who they appear to be.
That's right.
His former girlfriend, Becky, says that, her cousin's father, her cousin is saying that her father is not who he seems to be, that her father has been replaced by an
also known
twin who
as her uncle. Jesus her uncle. Fucking Christ, my cousin's father. That's your uncle.
I don't know what families, how families work.
Apparently neither do they if they have to say my cousin's father.
I've got a brother, and it doesn't go any further than that, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, you don't know any extensions. No one's having babies in your family.
I haven't spoken to any of my cousins in 5 or 6 years at least.
That's right. If your brother has a kid, you won't even know what to call yourself.
He may have one by now. I don't even know.
You come over finally one day after years of inviting you over to the house. Please come to the house. Please, can we just have...
Who are these fucking kids? Who's this woman?
Anyway, then I'm just jumping through it. I don't give a shit. What's his name? What's the doctor? The guy who smokes a pipe. What's his name? Got a sweater dude. What's his name? God damn it.
Sweater dude.
Sweater dude. He's like.
Doctor.
Doctor. What's his name?
Dr. Richard Kimball.
You knew exactly what I was going for. Okay, you know what, guys? We're starting to hit a point with our friendship where we don't even have to say complete sentences anymore to know exactly what we're talking about.
You put that Tommy Lee Jones stank on it. I knew exactly where you were going. Our fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Like, that's supposed to impress anybody.
That's Dan, isn't it? That's Dan Kaufman.
Dan Kaufman, yeah. Dr. Mm-hmm. Kaufman, yeah.
And he found a body, didn't he? He
Oh no,
found.
Dan, that's not Dan, that's Jack.
Okay, what is. Okay, Jack found a body.
Jack found a body like in his house.
Yes.
He's like, I put it on the kitchen table, as you do with
Dude,
bodies.
look at it. Look at this dead body on my kitchen table. And he looks at it. He goes, "Oh, it's weird. It's like he's got a face, but there's no lines or nothing on it. It's like brand. What does he say? It's like brand new or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a blank.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he has no fingerprints.
He has no fingerprints. It's like it's almost like he's not done becoming you.
Dun dun
That's a weird thing to say.
dun." And then we're in a bar, and in that bar is what's her face?
Becky.
Becky. And what's Becky's got to say? Is it more of the "I just met a guy, my brother isn't my brother, my mom isn't my mom"? Is it more of that? Is it more of that fucking communist metaphor?
Ever since they got back to North Korea, they haven't been the same. But yeah, something like that. And well, because Becky is with him when they go to look at the weird body. And then Miles takes Becky back home to her father's house because she's an adult who lives with her father. Because she's a girl. And
They
then
just leave
like
the
he
bar. They leave the body sitting on a
they
fucking
leave they leave
pool
yeah they leave the
table.
body on the table and well, it'll be fine. No, actually, no, what he says, you keep an eye on it tonight and call me if anything strange happens. And then he's like, okay, I guess we'll do that. And they fall asleep. So Miles and Becky leave, and Jack and his wife stay. And then they fall asleep at some point, and they wake up, and the body's gone.
Oh, the
And they're
body
like,
also
"Whoa,
opened its eyes at one point.
that's right. Yeah, the body opened its eyes."
And then what happened?
And then,
They're in a spooky dark house.
well, yeah, doesn't it? They go back. He goes back to Jack and what's her name's place, and the body they found is gone. And then, or no, they call him. They call him and say the body's gone, and he has some kind of premonition that Becky might be in danger. So he like rushes over to Becky's house, and he sneaks in through the basement, and he opens like some kind of box in the basement.
Just box. Oh,
What
don't you
it,
remember when everyone had just some box in their basement?
just a coffin-sized box just in your basement for no particular purpose. And he sees a body in there that looks like Becky, and he's like, oh shit, this is fucked up.
Oh no, I kind of want to
So
have
he
sex with it because it's naked. A
he
naked
has
Becky
sex.
in a box.
He has sex with the body real quick, and then he goes upstairs and he gets Becky out of bed, and
Well, we
he
don't know
takes
that. He
her.
might have just jerked off in front because it's a
That's
naked
true. That's
woman.
true. He might have. Yeah, exactly. He
He
did. He
didn't
who knows
care
how much time he
if the naked body had no genitalia or nipples. It was a.
Who knows how much time he had? He was in a hurry. He wanted to make sure Becky was safe. So he scoops Becky out of bed and he takes her back to his house. And then Jack and Teddy, his wife, also come over to Miles's place, and they all decide they're gonna hang out at Miles's place because some weird shit is going on. And he says, okay, you women stay here. And oh, and doesn't he calls the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist comes over, and he tells the psychiatrist about all of this, and the psychiatrist says, you're fucking nuts. Shut up. You're crazy.
Shut
And he
up.
says, no, I'm not. There's a body that looks just like Becky in her father's basement, and I'm gonna take you to see it. So he goes to see it, and the
Perfectly
body's
sane.
gone. Perfectly sane thing for a person to do. And he goes to see it, and the body's gone, and they're rooting around in the basement. So that wakes up Becky's dad, who comes down with a gun, and he's like, what are you doing in my basement? And then the local cop shows up and he's like, what are you doing in the basement?
Masturbating over this corpse or whatever it is. I
Which
don't
isn't here
know.
anymore. Yeah.
So let's just skip to the famous. Let's skip to the greenhouse scene. Can we just
Yeah,
skip
okay.
to
So, yeah,
the
this is it's
goopy,
Miles's
gross
greenhouse. Yeah.
fucking, yeah, Miles?
Yeah.
And there's a seed pod in there and it pops open and there's goopy, gross shit in it. And they speculate wildly.
They speculate wildly and correctly. I love when that happens in a movie, when they're like, wait a second, this must be some kind of thing that's growing duplicates of people.
That's right.
Sure. It's all, you followed all the evidence right to that inevitable conclusion, did you?
When do they someone say out loud at some point? Because here's the thing. Then he stabs him with the, he gets stabbed, they stab the things with pitchforks. Well, with a pitchfork.
Yeah, one of them, the one that looks, that starts to, that comes out looking like him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Miles jabs it with, stabs it with a pitchfork. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, phew, that's over with. But nope. There's even more showing up, one that looks like her, and one that, and he's, and
the greenhouse is full of them.
Yeah, it's just full of them. He's got to stab that one too. And it's like, oh no, and there's one of him and one of her and all this other stuff. And does anyone ever say, this looks like it comes from outer space? I can't remember when they say that.
I don't think they say that at this point. Somebody says it at some point, but I can't remember when. But I don't think it's during the pitchforking in the greenhouse scene.
No, it's not. I don't think it is either. And then,
but somebody says it at some point, yeah.
And then they, I think they're planning on leaving.
Yeah.
And he gets gas.
Jack, he tells Jack and Teddy to leave.
Yeah.
He says, you guys leave and get help because we can't trust anybody in town anymore. Because for all we know, everybody's been replaced by, you know, that's another wild leap of logic. Like, they're replacing everybody. So.
And they get gas, and then he pulls over, and there are pods in the trunk of his car. What were those pods going to do? I don't know. But
turn into them. Somehow.
I don't know.
And by the way, the gas station guy must have had those fuckers, like, right nearby.
He was like, okay, here we go.
Because, like, he popped the trunk and slid them in there while he was filling up the gas tank.
And the other thing was, they pull over, they pull the pods out, and he decides to set them on fire with a flare.
They go up easy.
I mean, they're fucking really flammable.
They go up like Kingsford charcoal.
Like, look at that. If we could turn this into a fuel source, it'll beat coal, probably even pollute more.
Wow.
The 1950s.
This is fantastic.
Yep, we do. And so they drive away from the pods, and they go to whose house? Oh, no, they look through the window of somebody's house. Whose house is it? It's his
nurse's house. They go to his nurse's house. Yeah, and all and a bunch having, of the pod people are there having like a town
party.
Meeting.
They're having a pod party.
Yes. He's like, oh, I put the pod in the baby's room. She'll be a pod person soon or whatever the fuck.
And the cop comes up and goes, are you a pod? And he's like, no, I'm not a pod. And he runs away.
Yeah.
And they drive off some more. And,
they go to his doctor's office because mm-hmm. they'll never think to look for us there.
I know the perfect place to hide. My office.
The place where my name's on the door.
Exactly. It's like, what?
That place in the middle of town that everybody knows is my office.
Mm-hmm. But he goes there. He's still with what's her face?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Becky.
And, you know, there's more of them just, they start looking out the window at stuff, and what they see are cars driving up, people getting out, grabbing pods.
Yeah, there's trucks, like there's farm trucks with like piles of those pods mm-hmm. on the back, and they're all like, they're assigned to take pods and go give them to their relatives in other towns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now it's starting to spread.
Yeah. And they've got to do something.
They're waiting for Jack. They're waiting for Jack and Teddy to get back because they sent them out for help. And Jack and they haven't come back yet. And then finally, Jack knocks on the door and he's like, it's me, Jack. Open the door.
But it's not
and
Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Jack has been pod personed.
I've been podded.
I've been podded. And they're like,
hey, buddy, it's not so bad. Become a pod person. It's great. We just take everything from you, and there's no proof that you're in the new body. We kind of imply that you are in the new body. And here's all the advantages of being in the new body.
No emotions, no love.
No,
everything's
love.
Just normal all the time.
Yeah, it's just one long, bland streak of mayonnaise. Isn't that what America wants? Isn't that what you want, America? Anyway, bye. And don't they leave pods there?
Yeah, because the deal is when your pod is fully formed and ready to take your place, the next time you fall asleep, your pod steals your mind.
That's right.
And then something undetermined happens to your original body. It's never really explained.
We haven't figured it out yet. They explained it in the remake, but in this one.
Yeah, in this one, it's like, blah, 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 and then the pod person is you. Yeah.
Yep. And so he then, what does he do with drugs? Does he inject himself?
He injects the pod people with something to knock them out.
Right.
So that him and Becky can make their escape. And that's when they try to pretend that they've become pod people too when they get out to the sidewalk.
Yeah. And they write signs and it says, "Pod, I'm a pod person. How about you?"
Exactly.
And they almost get away with it, except for who is it that narcs them out?
Becky yells because a dog almost gets hit by a truck, and she gets like upset about that, and that gives him away.
Too bad that dog didn't have a hobo face. That would have been great. That would have been a great scene. Oh my God, that dog with a hobo face nearly got hit by a car. And he's
face dog. No.
Hobo face.
What are you talking about, Becky?
What's going on? And here's the thing. I know this is a different movie, but okay. So the pod got confused and it couldn't tell the difference between a dog and the hobo.
Yeah, exactly.
So out of comes
it did the best it could.
Came a dog with a hobo face, but what mind is in it? Is it the
it's a combination of dog and hobo. It's okay. Dog and hobo blended together.
Anyway, so they run away and the entire town is after them at this point. And they climb up the longest stairwell in movie history, aside from the one that's in John Wick 4, apparently. Holy shit. If you want a definition of tedium, watch John Wick 4, everybody. Anyway, they run into the California Hills because it's one of those movies. And they run and they run, and then she collapses. And he carries her to a cave.
That's right.
She's the woman, and she needs to be carried into a cave. And they get into the cave, and what happened? Oh, and they find some wood.
They hide under a floor for a little bit.
That's right.
And then the mob comes and goes and doesn't find them. And they hide in the cave for a little bit longer. And then they hear music. And they think, pod people don't listen to music. Maybe those are real people out there.
Right.
So he goes to investigate it. And he says, Becky, whatever you do, don't fall asleep while I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Does she listen?
He goes to check in what the music. It turns out the music was just, it was the radio playing in one of the trucks driven by the pod people. So it's not safe. So he goes back to the cave and fucking Becky couldn't keep her eyes open for 5 minutes.
I have a question. Where was the pod? Where was the pod?
That was the question I was asking.
Fucking pod that turned her into one of the pod people.
Because what appears to happen in the movie. What appears to happen in the movie is that she falls asleep, and then when she wakes up, she's a pod person, but still in her own body. But that's not how it works. Everything in the movie up to that point has told us that the pod person like takes your mind, but it's a separate body. And then something blah blah blah, something else happens to your original body, and it's the pod person. Because if you become a different person in your own body. What's the point of having the fucking pod grow a new body? It makes no sense. So yeah, that part, I feel like that's just a humongous plot hole. I don't think that makes any sense. But that's what happens. She falls asleep and now she's a pod person. So now Miles is all by himself. He's the only non-pod person. And he takes off running and he runs and he runs and he runs and he makes it to the highway and he does what was originally going to be the ending. Where he's yelling at the cars, and then he turns and yells right at the camera and says, "You're next, you're next."
And guess what? Before any of the pod people can come and get him, because he's seen everything. I guess he gets picked up by someone calls a crazy van, and they come and get him.
And, And then we come back to the hospital from the beginning.
Yep. So here's the other bookend. And they go, that's great. Lobotomize him right now. Here's a full syringe of Thorazine. When you wake up, you won't even remember who you are. Yay. And as they're leaving, a couple, remember when ambulance guys dressed all in white?
Mm-hmm. And they were fonts of information.
And they looked like they worked at the booby hatch. They looked like orderlies at the booby hatch. And they're wheeling some guy in. He says, oh, he got hit by a car. And he's in bad shape. Everything on him is broken. And they're like, okay. And then the other guy says, it's really weird. What we had to pull him out of was a bunch of pods.
Yeah.
And they went, buh? And then that's when the psychiatrist turns around, calls the president of the world, and says, we need to nuke Santa Margaritaville because it's time. It's bad. I believe everything.
This crazy guy's telling the truth.
And Kevin McCarthy leans against the wall as the Thorazine kicks in. And I guess he won't be lobotomized or get electroshock or any of the other things that they did. Or have his testicles cut off just to see if that calms him down.
Yeah, maybe this will fix it.
Let's just keep cutting off or electrocuting parts of his body and brain until he calms the fuck down.
I don't understand. Every form of torture I've tried doesn't seem to work.
I'm doing what's in the manual that I got from college. I don't get it. Anyway, I guess.
Phew. That's the end.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, the there's end. Hope. Oh, no, it's okay. The U.S. government has this completely under control.
All right, Steve, how do you feel about this communism metaphor? Because everyone agrees that's what it is. I don't know if it is, technically. I don't think
I don't think everybody does agree that's what it is. A lot of people think that's what it is.
I know. But, yeah. So do I. Anyway, how do you feel about this thing? The vision of the bob of the booby bobbies. The body, the people who steal bodies. Uh-huh.
Yes. I like it. To me, it's a combination of some genuinely good filmmaking and just a pile of utter nonsense.
And also how to use your budget.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's yeah. When you look at it in terms of, you know, how short the principal photography shoot was and how low the budget was and just all of those, you know, limitations they were working with. Like, it's a really well-made film.
Yeah.
It's no wonder that Don Siegel went on to a big career as a director, because he obviously knows what to do and knows how to use his resources wisely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really, really well-made film. It looks great. I love the black and white photography. I like the cast. The performances are very melodramatic. The performances are very big and elevated, you know, sort of to match how ludicrous the material is. And I think everybody does a good job. I think I like Kevin McCarthy a lot. I think he does a really good job, especially in the latter portions when he's getting flustered and frustrated and pushed and pushed and pushed further and further into desperation. I like the structure of the story, how the walls continually are closing in on the heroes. And, you know, just like in pretty much every horror movie ever made, we start with a large group and then they just keep getting picked off bit by bit until eventually we're down to two. And then ultimately we're down to just one exhausted guy standing on a highway screaming at cars. Because he's totally surrounded. And yeah, there, you know, it's a movie that I feel like you really enjoy it if you're able to get into a headspace where you can just go with it. Because there are parts of it that make no sense at all. Or that where the plot moves ahead because of just insane leaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're talking about the characters doing the wild speculating when they find the pods in the greenhouse. Like, they guess a lot of very important, correct stuff.
It happens a lot in the 50s, in the movies in the 50s.
Yeah, some character will see like one little piece of evidence and they'll extrapolate everything about the incredibly strange and complicated premise of the movie from like this one thing. And they're right. And that happens in this. And yeah, there's the thing we talked about with Becky in the cave at the end, which is, to me, I think that's a massive inconsistency with, you know, the way pod people work. It contradicts everything we've seen about the threat up to that point. At least as far as I can tell, because the actual details of how the pod people work is kind of vague throughout. And you see you see examples of that in like the pods in the trunk, or like exactly how does a pod know who to turn into?
Exactly.
Because like there's, you know, there's never like a scene
it,
where
they
you,
solved it in the sequel. They solved it in the remake.
The remake, the 70s.
The pod has version, to be yeah. close enough for its little tendrils to reach out, and it just starts sucking you out of
right. There has to be like a physical contact,
and then you become a husk.
Yeah,
and you it's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's like a physical thing that happens.
That's right.
And in this one, it's like, it's the pods turn into people. And that's like as far as they go with it. It doesn't really, mm-hmm. the details are unimportant. So if you can get past all of that and just put yourself in the headspace of the characters and kind of try to feel what they're feeling and get pulled along by what they're doing, then I think it works really well. If you're the kind of person that gets hung up on the inconsistencies and the details, then that might be a barrier, because there are some things in the movie that just do not make any sense and mm-hmm. flatly contradict things from earlier in the movie. And as far as what the story represents, a lot of people view it as anti-communist alarmism. And that's actually, I mean, that's the first place I went to when I watched it this time. I was like, man, this is the 50s.
Yep.
And like, this is an American movie. And this really feels like, you know, Red Scare alarmism, you know, like they're taking over and it's like, oh, they're scared of communists. Mm-hmm. But there are also people who interpret it as being against like McCarthyism. And, you know, and it's like a parable about how anti-communism has gone too far. Right. And some people just view it as a very generic kind of, well, conformity is bad kind of thing, which, you know, if you view it in the context of the 50s, that's kind of a bold message to be telling Americans in the 50s. Like, actually, conformity isn't that great. Maybe we should try to keep some of our quirks and some of our individuality and not just become, you know, faceless members of the group. Maybe that's not such a good thing. But that it, whatever you read it as, at least it gives the premise something beneath what's happening. It's not just a flat, two-dimensional sci-fi horror movie. There's something else going on. And even if it's just as vague as, you know, conformity is bad and, you know, the pressure is like, well, just behave, stop making trouble, just go along with it. You know, like that's the threat, people trying to get you to just stop making trouble and just go along, go with the flow. Mm-hmm. There's at least something there, you yeah. know, that you can connect to. So, yeah, I mean,
here's the thing that I've always said. It could easily just as well be a commentary on 1950s America.
Very easily.
Conform.
Very easily.
Conform. Do what everyone else does. Stop thinking outside of the group, you weird commie. Think like everybody else. Yeah. America's great. The nuclear weapons aren't that dangerous. They're fine. Everything's fine.
I know
they're free, but they know their place. Shut up.
Exactly.
Shut up. You know, it's not. It's okay to be friendly with the housekeeper. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. As long as she doesn't forget that she's the housekeeper.
Just so long as she doesn't think she's people. I mean, one of us.
One of us. Exactly. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. I mean, if you can admire the filmmaking and you can invest in the characters and not get thrown by some of the vagueness of the plot and some of the inconsistencies, I think mm-hmm. it's a really terrific film. So there you go. That's my two cents.
Hooray. I like it. It's fine. Here's the thing. It has that premise, which there's a reason why it's been remade four times. And that's because it's kind of like, take the thing that you think everyone's doing and you can apply it easily to this movie, right?
Yeah.
Take the thing and it becomes the thing. In in the 1970s remake, it was literally they become soulless versions of other people, right? It's fine, but you can take a look at that as once again, you're what do you what is it? What is it a statement about? Getting older? Losing your morals after you're young? Who knows? It's any number one of those things. But ultimately, Invasion of the Body Snatchers is less of a sci-fi movie and more of a metaphor, right? The pods could have just come, there was a giant monkey put out pods, and that's where they came from. It didn't matter where the pods came from. What matters is what the pods do, right? What do the pods do? Well, according to this, the pods turn you into a soulless fucking thing, and you all work together, and it's a communism metaphor, if that's what you want. It's a communism metaphor, if that's what you want. Or it's a metaphor about becoming boring and middle class, if that's what you want. That's one of the reasons I think the movie kind of works. They're not disguising it all that much. It's there. It's less subtext and than it is text, but it's text that's not so specific that you couldn't apply whatever you want onto it, right? And that's what it is. The performances are big. The scale is small, thank God. It's not worldwide.
No, it's just that one town.
It's just that one town and the crazy man who gets captured somehow by freelancing booby hatch guys with the crazy net. Someone had to call the booby hatch guys with the crazy net, right? And who did that? If everyone's turned into a pod person, which person picked up the phone and said, "Oh, I got a crazy guy"? Because the last time we saw him, he's on a freeway next to
He's on a
pods.
freeway, full cover, and nobody has cell phones. It's the 50s. Nobody in one of those
No.
cars called anybody.
No. Someone had to go, "Oh my," and call the booby hatch.
Pull over to a payphone. Operator, give me the nearest booby hatch.
And the two orderlies jump into their booby hatchmobile and they go pick him up.
The booby poles.
But that doesn't matter either because we had to have a not gloomy ending or some sort of hope or something in which someone calls the United States government and says, oh dear, conformity is taking over. Please come bomb everybody, kill everyone. So it's fine. I think it's one of those things that kind of stuck with us now. It's kind of stuck with us now. And that metaphor is sunk deep into our psyches and deep into their culture. And so that's one of the reasons why it's a classic movie. Not necessarily because it's great, not because the special effects are fantastic, although those pods are pretty yucky and I don't like them. They're gross and I don't like
Some
them.
of the pod special effects I think are really well done. Like especially that the what couple of those shots when like the almost fully formed versions are like emerging from the pods and there's like bubbles that are bubbling down. It's like some of that,
That's
I mean, it's all
right.
practical effects. It's done really well.
We need a Will Riker to kill all them clones.
Yeah, this would have been over in 5 minutes if Riker had been there.
Yes, what a.
Clones, you say? He would have just vaporized every motherfucker he
Is
saw.
there something more violent that we can use than a pitchfork?
Can we make them suffer before they die?
Hand me that blunt axe. I'm going to start chopping from the feet.
Yeah, baby. Riker don't fuck with no clones.
No. So, basically, that's it. If you guys want to get, if you guys watch it, you're not going to be just, it's super short. Okay. It moves along. It gets its point out, and then it's done. And you don't feel like you've dumped a whole bunch of time into it. It's just, it is almost, here's the thing. Is it as much fun as some other movies in the 1950s? No. No,
No.
it's not. But it's still fun. It's still kind of neat to watch. And then you can piece together, oh, this is what that crazy guy was screaming about. He watched. Here's the thing. There's been a long-standing theory that a lot of the crazy people the last 40, 50, 60, 70 years got fucked up when they watched movies in the 1950s when they were teenagers, and it kind of just bored into them. And it's the same thing with the people who claim that they've been abducted by aliens, and they look back at these movies from the 1950s and go, "Wow, that's
Well,
eerily
yeah.
similar."
Well, and it's like,
And
and the pe people didn't started people didn't start claiming that they had seen UFOs or been abducted by aliens until you started to see those kinds of stories, like in magazines and in movies. Like,
yeah. And crazy people didn't start showing up saying the people who I talk to aren't the real people. Not that they're pod people, but they're not the actual people, that they've been replaced or something. And I don't care how uncommon dude said it was. I work at a job where a lot of fucking crazy people call me all the time. I'm not going to say where I work, but there's a lot of fucking crazy people who call and say, I need your help, because everyone in my family isn't who they say they are.
My children have all been replaced.
That's right. That's right. And you're like, oh, I wish we really had guys from a booby hatch that would just show up.
You're like putting your hand over the phone. Do we have a booby hatch? Is there
in,
one?
In this day and age in America, they'd be probably the biggest employer in the United States. You and Goober in a white truck with a crazy net, just picking up crazy people.
We got another one.
Oh, shit, there's a Trump rally. Well, let's get all the guys and the backups of the guys, all the people who work for us part-time.
They'd be busier than Amazon drivers. They'd be pissing in jugs, like, all day.
At the Trump rally, they hear the trucks coming. His home goes, they're coming! And they just start running like in...
Run! It's the booby hatch!
Like the fucking scene in Planet of the Apes.
They're coming!
Oh, we didn't mean to make this political. Anyway, yeah. So, Steve, classic, not classic?
I'll say classic. What are we talking about?
It's a fucking classic. And they're
of course.
So long as things continue to change and attitudes continue to change. You know what I'm really surprised of? You know, I'm really surprised of. We have right wingers right now trying to make movies, right?
Yeah, they're yes.
Failing.
Attempts are being made.
Miserably. How is it? Well, I know why. They're fucking dumb. But I mean, how is it that some right winger hasn't tried to make Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where the pods make everybody woke?
Exactly. I would love to see that just so I could point and laugh at it. I mean, I would really love, please, Daily Wire assholes, do a remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers and fill it with your bullshit reactionary ideology.
And your
total lack of knowledge of the basics of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. I would love to watch that. That would be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Because, you know, you won't be able to help yourself. You won't make it, it won't be subtle.
Oh, God. Well, they don't know what subtle is.
No, they don't.
They don't know what subtle is.
Anyway, yay. Steve, do you have a movie you'd like to recommend?
I have one to not recommend.
Not recommend. That's what I meant. Yes. You know what I mean. Stop it.
So, as we've discussed already, the Invasion of the Body Snatchers has been remade several times. The one from the 70s, I think, is generally considered to be the best one. It's like a classic. Some of the other ones, not so great, but the one I'm not recommending is not one of those.
It's recognized as a really good remake, but nothing's going to stop the original. The original is going to continue to be.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So shut up.
But it's a good one. It's a good one. But the one I'm not recommending is not actually... The one I'm recommending is not actually a remake. It is a Redux. Ripoff.
Okay, there we go.
It is a ripoff produced by The Asylum.
I'm leaving. Why?
That bottomless pit of dreck. The Asylum. That proves
you can make money
by
producing absolute shit.
Yes, and just making it kind of sound like other stuff that people
because
are
Americans
familiar with.
Will apparently watch anything.
That's right. So this was a movie that was released the same year as what I think is the most recent actual remake of it, The Invasion, with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig. That one's not great.
No.
But this came out the same year, and this is the Asylum version. So this is the off-brand version called Invasion of the Pod People. And it's basically the same story.
It's not the fun one where Trumpy has magic powers.
No, not it's not Pod People. Not the subject of one of the greatest Mystery Science Theater episodes ever.
Nope.
Which features one of my favorite lines from Joel. Trumpy, you can do stupid things. No, not that. Invasion of the Pod People from like
Yes.
2007 is when it came out. And yeah, it's a woman works for a company, and then there's a meteor shower, and that's where the pod aliens come from. And the people she knows are replaced by pod people, and blah blah blah. You know the deal.
No.
I can't believe it's not Pod People. Right? I can't believe it's not Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's my not recommendation. The Asylum version. Don't watch it. I don't recommend it.
Hooray! As you guys know, I like to not recommend a movie from the same year as the movies that we just reviewed, and it's 1950, whatever the fuck it is. And the movie that I'm not gonna recommend is, some people might say, "Oh, but it's kitschy." It's not kitschy greatness. It's a Roger Corman film, and it's called "It Conquered the World."
Oh.
You remember the aliens from "It Conquered the World," right?
Do I?
I don't know. They're
I
kind
don't
of
think I do.
they have gigantic mouths full of so many teeth that they couldn't possibly talk. They're like little pyramids running around with arms and legs. It's stupid. The Venus is going to conquer the world.
Fucking Venus. You know, if it's not Mars, it's Venus.
But here's the thing. It didn't conquer the world. Nothing. Everything's fine at the end. It's okay. Everything's okay.
Well, that's not a good title for a horror movie.
No, I mean, if you want B
Everything's
movies,
okay.
this is definitely a B movie. So look it up. It conquered the fucking world, and it didn't do it. And oh, by the way, everything's fine at the end. Goodbye. Anyway, Steve,
What a twist.
what a twist. Ooh, everything's
Yes,
fine. Steve, now it's
sir.
time for you to make a terrible choice.
Oh, boy.
And this is a filmmaker we've never done before,
Okay.
but we got to do it. Okay, we got to get it out of the way. It's been popping up too much lately.
All
My
right, all right,
attitudes
all right.
towards him has changed greatly.
Ooh.
So you have A, B, or C to choose from. And this is where Steve must choose the next movie that we're going to review. He has a blind choice. He does not know what these movies are.
I do not.
Okay, Steve, please pick.
I choose C. This always happens.
Steve will be happy.
Oh, okay. Well, at least I'll be happy.
As the son of lesbians, I will not be
Oh.
happy.
Oh, I have a guess what it is, but I'll let you
Oh,
say what
do
it is, and
you?
I'll say if I'm right. I'll say if I'm right. Okay.
Had you chose A, we would have watched Clerks.
Oh, I think I'm right. I think I'm right. Go ahead.
Had you chosen B, we would have watched Dogma.
Okay, feeling good about this.
Also, by both films, by who? Kevin
By Kevin
Smith,
Smith.
a man who is
Exactly.
perpetually 13 fucking years old. And
That's
now
right.
let's do this. So you didn't, you just see. And so the next movie we're going to review, God damn it, is Chasing Amy.
I was right. I guessed right.
Gee, it wasn't from the clues I gave you, was it?
It was you going, oh, as a person raised by lesbians, I hate this movie. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's Chasing Amy.
I hate this movie quoting fucking movie. Anyway, yeah, so if you guys want to get all the jokes or find out why Jason has beaten Steve to death over his opinion of this fucking movie, then please rush out and watch Chasing Amy. Kevin Smith only has three apparently good movies. One of them is his first one, which is Clerks. The second one is Chasing Amy, and the last one is Dogma. And then after that, although I did like Red State, that was good.
Red State was a good change of pace from him, especially visually.
And he
Like,
learned
yeah.
nothing. He learned not a thing.
He was like, now back to the stoner shit. Okay, I did want to kind of stretch my legs. Now right back to the stoner shit.
Red State was the fruit was too high. I like this fruit down at the ground. The fruit that is falling off, that's what I like.
Red State was good, but where was the part for Jason Mewes? That was the
Or
problem with
any of my other regulars.
it. Yeah. Where the fuck was Jason Lee? God damn it.
I had to work with actors. This is weird.
I'll never do this again.
Exactly. I had to think. I don't like thinking.
Had to think. I cast Michael Parks? Who am I? Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, you guys just fuck. God damn it. If you want to get all the jokes or understand why Jason is so goddamn angry, then please. The first time I watched this was with two of my ex-girlfriends who were in a relationship together.
Oh, so, what did they think of Chasing Amy? The movie about the lesbian who temporarily stops being a lesbian.
Had Kevin Smith been on hand, he would have become a headline the next day. Kevin Smith eats own testicles. Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to this classic classic review of fuck it, I'm gonna start over. Thanks everybody for listening in. This is Jason Harding, and go see a movie this week.
And this is Steve Shives. Would you stay for dinner? I'm making spoon bread.
Fuck you and your spoon bread. Okay, number one, could you get more 50s than that? I'm making spoon bread.
Soon as I heard her say that, I was like, that's the quote I'm using.
It's bread that you can eat with a spoon. You mean pudding, you fuck? Just call it pudding.
It's spoon bread.
I read about it in Better Homes and Gardens.
Exactly.
Spoon bread. Is that why the little kid ran away? Because you were force feeding him fucking spoon bread?
I don't want any more spoon bread, mommy.
What other recipes did you come up with? Fork toast? What fork else toast. Could they probably butter knife drinks? What butter is you just don't make
fork,
something
fork soup takes forever to eat, but boy is it good.
It's like when someone said, hey, have this tapioca drink. And I was like, what is it like? Like swallowing frog spawn. And I went, no.
Why would anybody want that?
I know that there's a lot of people who love the feeling of sucking up tapioca balls into their fucking mouth. But just consider me too old. Old man Jason isn't going to get into that trend. I'm not going to.
No.
It might be great for you guys. But if I wanted.
I don't need to have texture in every single fucking thing. Okay. Sometimes I can just drink a liquid. That's fine.
But they're chewy. You chew it. And I'm like, that's just it. It's a drink. Chew shouldn't enter into drink.
Everything's not supposed to be the same as everything else.
You don't chew your
drinks are different.
Unless you're a dog, you don't chew your drink. You drink it.
Exactly.
You don't chew a drink. Anyway,
sometimes it is okay to eat bread with a spoon, and that's why I made some spoon bread.
No, it's not okay to eat bread with a spoon.
But not regular bread, but spoon bread.
No, but I don't want any spoon bread. Spoon bread is just, good.
I made a big casserole dish of it.
I know. It's from the South, yeah. where they cook with Coca-Cola. And yeah, also, and you have to add, you're asked, what flavor Coca-Cola do you want? Because they're fucking idiots down there.
Yeah, and also as a special treat, this is Maryland style spoon bread, so it's covered in crab seasoning.
You're just supposed to. Here's the thing, guys. Okay, this is Jason talking. Spoon bread is actually really good, but it's like super soft cornbread. It's like you put butter on it, you eat it, it's good. You know, for those people who were eating cornbread was too much of a chore, spoon bread.
If only this weren't so hard.
It's literally like someone said, we got to feed these old people something. They want cornbread, but their poor teethers are gone. And they've got to be able to gum something that makes them feel like they're alive.
Make some bread
still.
Make some bread that you don't have to chew.
And they're like, oh boy, cornbread, spoon it into my gaping gum hole, please. And they're like, there you go, shut up.
Just swallow it like a turkey swallowing a fish. Just
Swallowing a fish.
Just force it right down your gullet.
Where the fuck did you get that metaphor
from? I don't know. I thought of a bird, and then I thought, what bird would I never see eating a fish? Probably. See, a turkey.
I was willing to bet that it was a Marylandism. Like a, look at her gobble that cock like a turkey swallowing a fish. Weird Maryland porn. That's what it is.
It's geo-locked. You can only see it in Maryland.
That's right. Yeah. You can't leave the state.
You can't. It can't legally be shown anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. It just basically. Okay, so here's the thing with spoon bread. You basically just make cornbread and put more of the wet stuff in it, and then you cook
so it.
It
doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't set as hard as.
That's right. That's right. So it's basically like a porridge. Not that soft. It's not as soft kind as of, a porridge. Yeah,
in Maryland, you pop the lid off of an entire tin of Old Bay and you just turn it upside down. You just dump the whole thing
in. Fuck you in Maryland and Old Bay. Fuck all of you. Jesus.
Everything tastes like Old Bay here and we like it.
We smoke it. We roll it in rolling papers and we smoke Old Bay.
You got any more of them Old Bay cigarettes, boy? It doesn't get you high or do anything else, but we love it.
It just hurts your lungs and gives you cancer. Mm.
It hurts your lungs in exchange for nothing.
But it's a Maryland cancer. That's what's important.
It's one of the things we have.
I don't think I've ever bought a thing of Old Bay ever.
Old Bay and natural light beer, baby. Welcome to Maryland.
That's great. You put it on everything, don't you? Corn.
Oh no, not natural light, Natty Bow. Not Natty Light, Natty Bow. Natural National Bohemian. That's our Maryland beer.
Natty Bow?
Natty Bow. Natural Bohemian.
That has more syllables than saying National Bohemian, isn't it? That's the same.
That's what Natty. Well, we have Natty. That's what we got. We got Old Bay and we got Natty Bow.
That's right. Without Natty Bow, you guys would die off altogether because that's the gateway to fucking, isn't it? Just a six pack of Natty Bow.
I think she's going to take a few more Natty Bows before you get anything going there.
Okay. Before I insult your state more, let's just stop. Can we stop?
Okay. And then we get it. You can insult my state in private after we're
done. That's right. To your face until you weep.
Yes. Or for the sake of the patrons. For the sake of the patrons in the after show. Until so let me tell you some more shit about
curled
your state.
In a ball in that room in front of your acting, in front of your dolls. Yeah. Please stop.
Clutching my, sobbing into my Maryland flag.
How dare you make me proud of my state? I hate it here. It's like, if someone can insult California all they want, I agree. Yes, fuck it.
You'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's filled with a bunch of liberal idiots who haven't met a tax they haven't liked. And that's why we're taxed. Everything is taxed. I wouldn't be surprised in the next 2 years in California, they say, okay, we're going to do a breathing tax. Everyone's going to have to wear some kind of filter over them. It's going to count your breaths and then tax you accordingly. What? Yeah, that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Can't you just tax rich people? No, we're taxing breaths.
Okay, everyone out there doesn't live in California, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I was driving the company car this weekend, and I had to fill it up with gas.
Okay.
Guess how much that gas was per gallon?
I'm going to guess it was a lot by your tone. $5 a gallon.
Higher.
Higher. $6 a gallon. It's like the price is right. $6 a gallon.
Higher.
$6.50.
Higher.
$6.75.
Higher.
$7.
Higher.
$7.50.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. $139 to fill up the car.
God damn.
$139 fucking dollars. And a lot of that was getting gas. Granted, I was in a relatively remote, not that remote location, but it's all taxes and taxes and more taxes. And here's a tax that's supposed to do this. Oh, great. Can you spend $1 billion more dollars for light rail, for the high-speed rail that we don't need? between Sacramento and Los Angeles. Can we have that, please? Can you continue to waste our fucking money on something that no one's gonna fucking use? Because by the time it's built, a single ticket from Sacramento to Los Angeles is probably gonna be $700. And you're like, but I can fly on the airlines for $120. Shut up.
You're ruining it.
Anyway, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Late Seating is a Let Me Listen podcast production featuring Steve Shives and Jason Harding. Produced by Jason Harding. Theme music, Rollin' at Five, composed and performed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find more Let Me Listen podcast productions at our website at www.letmelistenpodcast.com. You can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, or just about anywhere you download podcasts. Late Seating is a listener-supported podcast. If you would like to support Late Seating or any of the other Let Me Listen productions for as little as $1 a month, please visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/letmelisten. And thanks for listening.